The charge northward from Kuwait to the outskirts of Baghdad generally went swiftly, but was sufficiently troubled with long and vulnerable lines of supply that just 1 week into the invasion, some U.S. commanders began issuing warnings. "The enemy we're fighting is different from the one we'd wargamed against," Lieutenant General William S. Wallace, commander of 5 Corps and a candid man, told reporters. That remark briefly became hugely controversial. On top of that, a huge sandstorm and rainstorm descended on Iraq on March 24th and lasted for 3 days, grounding the invasion forces' helicopters and miring many troops. It was like a tornado of mud, Major General David Petraeus, commander of the 101st Airborne Division, said a few weeks later. But even then, the U.S. military was able to use sophisticated radars and other sensors to peer through with devastating effect. Late one night during the tempest, a Republican Guard missile unit concealed its Frog 7 launcher vehicles deep in a palm grove in the Saba Akbar, or Seven Virgins, area in the northern suburbs of Baghdad. They were off the road, cloaked by the trees, by the darkness, and by the dirt-laden winds of the storm. Even so, they were hit by 2 enormous bombs and then by a spray of flesh-shredding cluster bomblets. Omar Khalidi, a Republican Guard captain, said that this aerial attack demoralized his men enormously. "They were hiding and thought nobody could find them," he said. "Some soldiers left their positions and ran away. When the big bombs hit their target, some of the vehicles just melted, and the effect of the cluster bombs was even greater because they covered a larger area. The only way their concealed vehicles could have been detected," Khalidi wrongly calculated, "was by betrayal, a powerfully damaging conclusion for troops under fire to reach. Most of the commanders were sure it was through spies, because it was impossible to find through satellite or aircraft. Even if you drove by it, you couldn't find it." Likewise, when Qusay Hussein ordered 3 elite Republican Guard divisions to move southwest of Baghdad to confront the American offensive, American bombers destroyed them before they could even get near the U.S. forces. This affected the morale of the troops, an Iraqi general staff officer later told the Washington Post's William Brannigan. The Iraqi will to fight was broken outside Baghdad. On April 3, the 3rd Infantry Division took Saddam International Airport on the western fringe of Baghdad. 2 days later, it launched the first of 2 Thunder Runs, monstrous charges of tanks and other armored vehicles, into the capital. These probes showed the U.S. Army at its best, taking tactical risks that paid off handsomely. Most notably, they led to an abandonment of the U.S. plan to cordon off the city and move in slowly. Rather, the 2 Thunder Runs led to the swift collapse of the regime. The opposition to these audacious forays was fierce. When the 3rd Infantry Division's 2nd Brigade, commanded by Colonel David Perkins, drove into the city for the first time just after dawn on the morning of April 5, it was slammed repeatedly with rocket-propelled grenades, RPG, and rifle fire at effectively point-blank range along nearly its entire route, according to an Army War College report. Every single vehicle in the column was hit at least once by Iraqi RPGs, and many took multiple hits. Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Twitty, one of Perkins's battalion commanders, later described their first run into the city as 8 hours of continuous fighting. At one point, one unit at a key intersection appeared in danger of running out of ammunition and being overrun. The first attack consisted of an armored column built around 29 tanks that swung up a major highway, Route 8, that cut into the southwestern part of Baghdad, a mix of industrial areas and square, 2-story adobe-style houses, and then veered out to catch the arrow-straight 4-lane expressway to the sprawling international airport west of the city. In these battles, Franks's maxim that speed kills did indeed apply. Perkins observed that the Iraqi defenders were only prepared to fight in one direction, so a fast move through their lines tended to disorient their response. The tanks and Bradley fighting vehicles arriving at the airport at the end of the first run appeared to be in flames because the intense shooting had set fire to the backpacks and other gear that U.S. armored soldiers carry on the outside of their vehicles. The 3rd Infantry Division estimated that it killed 2,000 enemy fighters during this mission. Its official history offers no figure for the number of civilians killed, but the Iraqis said there were many. "I was emotionally spent," said Lieutenant Colonel Eric Schwartz, who commanded an armored battalion in the first attack. "One of my tank commanders had been killed. I had a soldier shot in the eye, shot in the forehead, shot in the shoulder, shot in the back, shot in the face. I just needed time for myself. One of the other battalion commanders from 1st Brigade came over and asked me, 'Are you okay?' And I said, 'I don't know.'" On April 7, the second foray cut through to Saddam's palace complex in the center of Baghdad, on the left bank of the Tigris, and decided to stay. The American military believed it had taken Baghdad.